For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of this darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in the high places. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our world is not merely filled with human beings, material objects, but we are constantly surrounded by a whole world that we cannot see with our eyes, but that we know by faith. This is the spiritual world of angels, both good and bad. The good who will help us on the way to heaven, and the bad who will do anything that they can to prevent our entrance into heaven. St. Paul today, he's writing to the Ephesians, and he's warning them, be ready for battle. Be strong. Have confidence in God, for you are fighting not men, not flesh and blood. You are fighting what is much more powerful than you by nature. You are fighting principalities, powers. And this fight is not only going on against each one of us personally, but all through society. It mentions that the demons have influence over our rulers, that the demons can change the weather, so as often as God permits it, and do all sorts of harm. And they will then seek our souls as well. These angels, and they are of the angelic nature, remember, were among the highest, some of them, the most mighty of the angels who fell from heaven and now are the princes of this world of darkness. And these we must fight. It happens so often in the lives of the saints in a most fantastic way. Not that it was imaginary, it was real beyond belief. Saint Teresa of Avila, she spoke, or rather the devil spoke to her many times, appeared to him in many various forms, frightening forms at times, but our Lord always told her, never be frightened. He can only do what he has been permitted by me to do. On one occasion, she made the sign of the cross, not once, but twice. The demon vanished, but then came back. The third time, she sprinkled holy water at the thing, and he ran off, making, St. Teresa says, all sorts of ugly faces, and sort of mocking him in a way because of the faces he was making. Or St. Gemma Galgani, a great Italian saint from the city of Lucca in Italy, of course. She was many times beaten by the devil. But still, our Lord told her always, have confidence in my power, my goodness. There is no need to fear the devil. And she too wrote to her confessor in a letter once, a very, very funny thing. She said, if you had only seen him when he was overcome, he ran away making the most stupid faces. And so you see, the saints did not fear the devil. The Curé of Ars was constantly attacked. Every time that there was going to be some great conversion in that village or elsewhere, that the curé would work, the devil would do his best to keep him up the night before so that he would be too tired to do his work. But never mind, to the curé, the devil was nothing but a roasting fork. That was his nickname from the grepin, which is a sort of a roasting fork that you use for marshmallows. And so even he learned to take the devil and all of his tricks lightly, because he said he's like a barking dog. He barks a lot, but he's chained up. He can only do what God permits. But because our society now has become so materialistic, it only believes in what it can see, in what it can touch, in what it can hear. That in this modern day, we often lose sight of our one final goal, that is to get to heaven. Everything else is nothing. Everything else that we do, think, and say either leads us closer to our final goal or it leads us farther away. Everything. And the devil knows this. And so he constantly works to get us to forget about this goal and then to fail in this goal. Now, we may not see him ever. We may not have to deal with him in the ways mentioned above in the lives of the saints, but it is a certain fact that he is always waging war against us, and that we must then battle him. How does he often fight against us? Well, in ways that are very subtle, that if you did not have the faith, you would not believe came from the devils. First of all, by deception, making false and empty promises, as they so often did in the lives of the saints. If you only give up worshiping the one true God, then I, the devil says, I can give you riches that you could never imagine. I can give you true happiness, fame, glory, honor, if only you turn to me. Wordsmithing. Do you know what that is? It's taking a word and then giving it another word, another spin. So, for example, and this is what the devil so often does to deceive us. What is abortion? Abortion is the dismemberment of the parts of the body of a child. It is the murdering of a child. There is nothing that sounds good about that. But it has become a choice. And those who are for abortion are called pro-choice, so that it sounds not so bad. The sin of sodomy. Nothing sounds so terrible as that. A sodomite. Now it has been called gay, which used to mean happy, a good term. Or in our present time, and this is a big one, and it truly is diabolic, the word COVID. When you hear that word, your gut reaction is a little bit of fear, anxiety. If you hear that someone has COVID, but guess what? COVID is nothing more than another flu virus. It is a coronavirus, which is in the family of colds and flus. It is all it is. And it should be called by us the flu. Because the wordsmithing has been done. If you call it COVID or even mention it, everyone starts to have some sort of gut reaction to it. That's diabolic. He deceives us through a sheer volume of information. Just look at what's out there on the internet. Look at everything out there now on COVID. Just a sheer volume of information. And it all contradicts. It all contradicts. Because information, remember, is not the same thing as truth. Information can be false just as well as it can be true. So data can be assembled very craftily to make deceptive points. And furthermore, certain facts and figures can be emphasized to the point that they exclude any other truths which might balance it out. The media exercises their power sometimes more when by what they do not report. And you have seen this all over the place for the last year and a half to 2 years, especially. Thus, this is a way that the devil brings deceptions upon us. What are we to do to fight this? We are to assess and weigh all of these things that we are being told in the light of God's truth. And in the end, what does it matter if there is a sickness? Doesn't the faith teach us? Doesn't just plain old experience teach us? We're all going to get sick sometime, and we're all going to die sometime. Why must we then be forced to take a jab? Why must we live our life in fear? Why do not we trust in the good God who orders all things? This is the gospel truth. This is the way that the gospel wants us to live, but the diabolic does the exact opposite. And we are going through a diabolic period. So the first is by deception. The second way that he fights us is by dividing us. The word diabolical, it's a Greek word, comes from the Greek, means to cut, to tear, or divide, to rip apart. The first way that he wants to divide us is within ourselves. St. Paul mentions, I'm just paraphrasing, he said, I would do the things that I do not. Meaning, I so want to do these good actions, but there is something else in me, a part that's divided, that prevents me from doing them. And once we are divided interiorly, then the devil can tap into our weak points in our spiritual edifice, to bring about external division. So he recalls to us past hurts, past injuries. He recalls to our mind fears, things that cause us anxiety. He constantly works on these very points in each one of us. The remedy to this is simple. Do not allow yourself to indulge in divisive thoughts. That's a self-indulgence which should not be entered into. Thirdly, the third means of the attacks of the devil, diversion. And this is all over the place in our modern society. Remember that heaven is our final goal. It is our first goal. It is our last end. It is everything. And so the devil uses worldly material goods to divert our attention away from it. Oftentimes, he uses fears and anxieties to turn us away from God just enough. So, for example, he often causes us to be afraid of what might happen to us, what might afflict us on this earth. Illness, for example. He draws all these fears to our mind. And have you noticed that whenever you worry excessively, you find yourself in a state of panic or anxiety, that your first tendency is not to turn to God. Your first tendency is to work out these problems in your own mind, divert your attention to something else, Facebook, Twitter, television, video games, is to seek those things first, not God. So at the heart of every diversion in this world, anything that distracts, pulls away from God, is the fact that the devil wants us to focus on anything except our goal of heaven. He will try anything to get us to stop praying, to stop coming to church, to stop praying the rosary. He'll do anything to divert us away from those things. And so the remedy to that is mortification on those things. Not that one must give them up completely, the Facebook and those other things, but to know when to shut it off and pull out your spiritual books and your prayers. The fourth and final way that I will mention in which he attacks us is by means of discouragement. This is his number one tool. He will say to you, you aren't good enough. He will say to you, your past, you're irredeemable. You will never make it to heaven. Then he will bring up all the work that you have to do in the future. And he will tell you, you cannot do that. And you will neglect your duty and go to hell. He will tell you. And after you have sinned, he will try to get you never to go to confession. But St. Paul tells us how to combat the devil. He says, put on the girdle of truth. The girdle of truth teaches us that sin is the only evil and that virtue, the only good. He says, put on the breastplate of justice, symbolizing our good works, our acts of charity and of justice and of humility and of confidence. He says, put on the shoes. He mentions some shoes. He used a different word, but these regulate our lives according to the gospel. And herein lies true peace. When our life is regulated by the gospel. He says that we must take hold of the shield of faith. The shield of faith tells us that God rewards the good and punishes the evil. And then he arms us with the sword of the word of God. By this, he wants us to use the words of God in the midst of tribulation, of these attacks. Remind yourselves of some powerful word of God that is encouraging, that is empowering, and pray it in those times. And finally, he tells us to put on the helmet of salvation. This helmet is nothing other than the confidence in God and the hope of heaven. I'll end with two quotations. St. Augustine, the great doctor of the church, he said, "The Christian should not fear or be distressed in difficult circumstances and thus be distracted from God. He should rather take courage, as if the Lord were at hand, directing his affairs and strengthening him against all his adversaries. St. Albert the Great says, "The greater and more persistent your confidence in God, the more abundantly you will receive all that you ask." And finally, remember in this fight against the princes of the world of darkness that you also have an angel at your side who was there when Lucifer was driven to hell. And there this good angel fights with you and for you at your side day by day. Invoke him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.